Okay, turn with me your Bible tonight to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. The context of 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll be looking at verse 11, especially verse 11, but the context is verse 10 and previous. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, or all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Here we have instruction to, specifically in this context, Timothy, and specifically preachers. And we have some great instruction here is very helpful. And we have instruction in the light of having the right motives to serve the Lord. The right motives to serve the Lord, or serving the Lord for the right reasons. And the Bible says, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about this false thinking these wrong motives about the ministry. And as you think about this, there is some great truth here, and it's really telling us that in this context, it's telling us that every preacher is in a battle. And we find that the man of God is instructed to flee. Well, you know, if you're fleeing something, we have the picture of something pursuing them. We have something pursuing them. We have something that would overtake them and destroy them. And so we have a picture of a battle for our souls and for our ministry. And so we have instructions in this. I think this would be great instruction for us to think of in light of the day in which we live. Obviously, it's instruction for me. It is instruction for you in the fact that Timothy here is called a man of God. And yet, we know in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that it says, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. And it's talking about every Christian as well, when they use that phrase, the man of God. The man of God is someone who belongs to God, and it's someone who represents God. And Samuel, in the book of Samuel, is called a man of God. They said, is there a man of God in this city? And they said, yes, Samuel is in this city. And so we have a picture of a battle, a battle for the soul of a preacher, and a battle to destroy their ministry. I think this would be a great passage of Scripture for us to apply to the mega church movement. As you would think about this passage of Scripture, take these instructions and say, okay, what is God saying that a man of God should be pursuing in his ministry? What should he be pursuing himself? What should he be pursuing in his ministry? And so we have a picture here of a battle for the souls of men, and certainly the souls of preachers. And there is a spiritual battle that is going on. And, you know, if we are serving the Lord, we realize there is a battle. And there is certainly a battle that the Bible speaks about that is another level of a battle that I believe is in the realms of those who are in the ministry. There's another level of battle. And we have some instruction here about the battle of life. First of all, he says, what should we do in the battle of life? First of all, he says, flee these things. Flee these things. Of course, what is he talking about? He's talking about the wrong motives of the ministry, the love of money, the false teaching that gain is godliness, and the goal of life is to have many possessions and many things and many pleasures. And the Bible says that the real goal of life, godliness with contentment, is great gain. And so he tells them to flee. Now, you know, that's a great a picture in the Bible. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 5. The interesting thing about this fleeing, it says, flee these things. The tense of the word for flee is continuous action. In other words, you must always continually be fleeing. There can never be enough distance between you and these things. You can never stop fleeing these things. It must be the continuous action of the man of God to be fleeing these things. Now, Proverbs chapter 5, of course, talks about the strange woman. And Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. And the Bible is making the picture that, you know, sin is lurking and waiting to destroy the souls of young people, of adults, of grandparents, senior citizens. The devil and sin are waiting to destroy, and they're looking for the simple ones, the simpletons that think that they can play with sin. They think they can play with sin. And the simpleton, and what does the simpleton do? The Bible says, Proverbs 7:7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discern among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the dark, the black and dark night. And they hove, oh, what an accident. There met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle in heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Oh, this was an accident. No, it wasn't an accident at all, was it? The simpleton went near her house. And the action that the Bible says is that we are to flee. We are to flee. That's the opposite message of the flesh. The flesh says, you know, the flesh has this little subtle lie. Well, you know, you don't just want to have bold-faced sin, but, you know, let's just kind of go over there. Let's just see what's happening. And guess what's lurking in those dark corners? Sin. And, you know, so we have this very important picture here. Is that God says we're supposed to flee sin. The Bible tells us the man of God is supposed to flee these things that would destroy him and destroy his ministry, that would lead them in the way of false teaching, etc. But there's supposed to be this action of continuously fleeing. And you know, that is the action that needs to be in the life of every Christian. Fleeing. Not getting close. Not playing with sin. Not dabbling with sin. Not getting nearby. Fleeing. And the picture is you can never get far enough away from sin. And the moment you stop, sin will get you. Phil Schuller, great evangelist, he's now with the Lord. He's told great stories. And he would tell a story of the deer being pursued by the wolf. Anybody hear that story? Okay, what a great story, wasn't it? And you know, and that deer would take off, you know, and leap away, and it would rest, and the wolf just kept going, and the deer would take off and then stop and rest, but the wolf kept going. And kept pursuing, and kept pursuing, and kept pursuing. And guess what? Who won? The wolf. Because sin pursues our soul. And unless we understand that, we will not flee. We will not keep fleeing. We will take a break. We will be a simpleton. And think that we can play with sin a little bit, and it can be too late. And so we have this continuous action that must be in the mind of the pastor. It's an action that must be constantly in the mind of the believer of fleeing sin. Of fleeing these things that would destroy our lives. It's a very important message. Flee, he said, flee also youthful lusts. Flee these things. And you know, what you're getting at here, what we're seeing, is we're also seeing a picture of the ministry in a New Testament church. We're getting a picture of the ministry of a New Testament church. Is that one of the messages of the New Testament church is that we flee sin. But you know what? I don't think that message is necessarily very strong anymore. I don't think that message is the predominant message. And maybe it's because it's not really the message that is being followed in the life of preachers. And therefore, it's not the message that's being preached in the church. And so we have this instruction to Timothy, flee, flee, continuously, constantly, never stopping fleeing. There never can be enough distance between you and sin and these kinds of things. Don't ever let them come into your life. As the devil would tempt you, you must flee these things. And so, we also see this other important truth. He says, but follow after. Follow after. Now, this verb as well is continuous tense. It's talking about the inward working of the life of a man of God. Is talking about what needs to be taking place in our lives. There must be this continuous, constant pursuit in our life. Now, as you think about it, who is written to, I think that this really, in one sense of the word, gives a picture not only of the ministry and the battles of the ministry, but I think it also gives us a picture of really of the life of the believers in a New Testament church. Okay? And I'd like you to think about this in the realm of what we should be doing. It should be also in light of, okay, what is a real church ought to, what should it be like? What about the easy churches out there? Everybody's tempted to go to the easy churches. Okay, I want you to think about this tonight. Is this the message that they're preaching? As we look at it, I want you to ask yourself the question: is this the message that they're preaching? Is this the kind of message that they're teaching that their people are supposed to be doing? And I think this would be very helpful for us. It's one of those things that's in black and white. Okay? So he says, now here's something that you're supposed to be pursuing. Now, you know what? The fact is this. You couple this attitude of fleeing sin, and you couple it with this action of pursuing these things. Boy, you know what? You have sin defeated in two ways. It's defeated by by fleeing from it, but it's also defeated by the fact that you are pursuing these things. There's no way you can pursue these things and allow yourself to succumb to the things that will destroy us. And so he says, first of all, a little list here. Flee these things, but follow after righteousness. Follow, pursue that which is righteous. What is righteous? Righteous is what God has declared to be right. Righteousness is what God has declared to be right. All right? And of course, righteousness is the result of walking in the Spirit and walking in the power of the Lord and allowing Him to live in our lives. What do you say? Pursue what? Righteousness. That's what we're supposed to pursue. We're supposed to be constantly, continuously, every day pursuing righteousness. That's God's message. You know what? That means we never attained. That means we never arrived. That means that there's no such thing as status quo. That means there's never a day that it's time for us to relax and say, okay, everything's fine. And you know, we can do that, and churches can do that. And they can say, you know what? We're done. We're done. We don't need to pursue righteousness anymore. And you know what happens when that happens? Guess what? The opposite happens. They start going backwards. And pretty soon now, the standards and different things in their church start going down. Why? Because the action has stopped. What action? The action of pursuing righteousness. And you know, if you're a real person, if you're a real person, if you're really saved, if you've lived the Christian life and you're honest, you have to say, you know what? Exactly true. Exactly true. When I'm not pursuing righteousness, I'm vulnerable and ready to be destroyed. And it can happen so quickly. So what is the action required? And this is a great truth for the man of God. He says, pursue righteousness. Then he says, pursue godliness. And of course, the word godliness is a great theme of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, doctrine according to godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And he said, pursue after godliness. And this is the word that really has the idea of the right attitude about God. And having this attitude, having this fear of the Lord, this worship of God, a consciousness of His holiness, that affects our life. Godliness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's a very attitude about God. He says this is something we're supposed to be pursuing. Become more and more conscious of God's holiness. And allowing that attitude to pursue our life. And I'm not trying to say hit this, but you know what? This flippant, worldly attitude out there, this carnal worship of God with CCM music and rock music and you name it. I tell you what, there's something wrong. There's something real haywire. And it's not, it's a personal problem of the ministry. The pastor's supposed to be pursuing godliness and allowing that to penetrate our lives. And if we don't, we start slipping. And we still have a sinful nature. And the slip can come real fast. It says, now I want you to pursue faith. Pursue faith. Faith. Living by faith. Going forward. You know, there needs to be a going forward in a person's life. You know, you go forward by faith. There has to be a going forward. There has to be a new ground that is being gained. New ground that, a new pathway that is being forged. You know, you don't go forward except by faith. You know, that's really uncomfortable to go ahead by faith. I hate going ahead by faith. You know, that is so it's just tough. You know, you got to make these decisions. And you have to make yourself vulnerable. And you have to put yourself at risk. And you have to say, you got to get a hold of God and say, you know what, this is what we need to do. And you know, you're putting yourself at risk because you know you're making this, you're doing it publicly. Everybody's watching you. And they're watching you, and they're seeing what happens. It's kind of humbling to have someone say, hey, you said God was in it. No, it's not true. There has to be faith, a willingness to get a hold of God, to trust God. You know, if you could see it, it wouldn't be faith, would it? If you could have it all figured out, it wouldn't be faith. And that's what's so difficult, is trying to figure things out, and you can't figure them out because you have to go ahead by faith. And so there is this great pursuit of going ahead by faith. You know, this is what I need to do. This is what's right. Okay, well, let's just do it. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. But we got to do it. Well, I got to trust God. The Bible says, commit thy way unto thy path unto the Lord, and thy thoughts, I got it mixed up, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, you have to make a commitment to do the will of God. And you have to make a commitment to go forward. It's a decision of faith. And you know, we don't make decisions of faith. We're going to go backwards. But praise the Lord, the Bible's still true. You know, it doesn't matter what people want. It doesn't matter what the world says. Our job is to obey what God said. That's our job. You know? And you know, I think that it is true to a degree that, you know, when a church starts going backwards, they start dying. Because churches go backwards when they're afraid to go forward. And churches go backwards when they're afraid to go forward in righteousness. They're afraid of what people are going to say. They're afraid that maybe someone isn't going to like it. They get skittish because people have left. Because you said, hey, this is the truth, and we're going for it. And you know what? When you say, there has to be faith. There has to be faith that says, you know, it doesn't matter. This is what the Bible says. And it doesn't matter what some, and you know, it's usually the mixed multitude that caused all the problem in the Old Testament. You know that? Mixed multitude caused the problem. The people who came along because of the action but weren't really saved. Churches, they get in people that aren't saved. And you know, people that aren't saved, they don't like good music standards. And they don't like good dress standards. And they don't want to go forward in godliness. They are always bucking it. That's a mixed multitude. But you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And you know, preach the word. Preach what the Bible says. You know, and done the right way, people that know God are going to follow. But you can't see it. You can't see it. There has to be faith. And the faith is the very lifeblood of the believer, and it's the very lifeblood of the believer, of the pastor. I always say to people, God's will always leads you to higher ground. God's will always leads you to greater commitment. God's will always leads you to a greater place of self-denial. You know, all of those have to do with faith, don't they? Right? If you're pursuing faith, then you aren't going backwards. But you know, people who want the easy ground, they want the easier ground, and they think they're living by faith, but you know what? They aren't going to higher ground. He says, pursue righteousness and continually do so, godliness and faith. And then love. I think of the Apostle Paul. He said to the Corinthians, the more I love you, the less I am loved. And he gives this picture that there is a human reality in the ministry that requires a constant pursuing of personal love. Because the ministry does not in itself promote this. Paul said, as I said, he said, the more I love, the less I am loved. There must be a conscious effort to seek to cultivate love for those that are around us and love for those that we minister to, and this attitude that I am going to love even though I'm not loved. It's a pursuit. And it can just take a minute to say, boy, I can see if you don't do that, you aren't going to last long. You aren't going to last long. Pretty soon it's going to be overwhelming. And you know, in a very simplistic fashion, we can easily lose our love for souls. We can easily lose this love for the lost souls that are all around us. And we can just go on with life. Needs to be a constant a pursuing of personal love for others, for souls, for the Lord. Love is a giving of self, and a conscious giving of self for the good and the better, the spiritual good of others. So he says, there's got to be this pursuing of. Then he says, I want you to pursue after patience. And of course, the word patience is really the word of endurance. Okay? The word of endurance. And I think of Mrs. Cook this testimony night. You know, she gave picture of the fact, hey, she listened to these missionary stories, and guess what? It wasn't a bed of flowers. It was a bed of thorns. There was trial. There were trials. And there were trials. And there were difficulties. And there was opposition. And things didn't necessarily go right. And he says, you need to be constantly pursuing this patience, this endurance under trial. Now, if you're let's say you're one of the young people in here at this church, and you think God has called you to the ministry, let me tell you something. You need to understand the principle of endurance. You know what the principle of endurance is? I tell you the principle of endurance. The principle of endurance is you can't stand it. That's the principle of endurance. You would like to just give up. You would just like to die. Not literally, but figuratively. You know, Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'm not a very good runner. I'm short. And I'm not only short now, but I'm something else. Okay, but I'm not a very good runner. But you know, I like to run. I like to run. Not a very good runner. And I don't run much anymore because I can't. If I ran a few steps, oh man, I'd be... my body would be shaking out of place here. And so I can't. But I love to run. And when I worked for my dad, and he said, I was the gopher man, and he said, I need such and such a tool. I was taught that you didn't walk and go get that. I mean, I can't imagine why kids do that. You know, when my dad said he needed this tool, you know what he expected me to do? He expected me to run and get it. I mean, why wait? Why have the boss standing around doing nothing, waiting for the gopher to take his time, you know, and get the tool? I mean, that's ridiculous. Right? You know, boy. And so, you know, but I was taught to run. I like to run. And you know what? If I'm working with somebody, even though I'm an old codger now, you know, if I'm working with somebody and they say, go get a tool, if I have enough energy, I go run. Because that's what I'm. That's my job. You know, I don't know how to do whatever they're doing. They said, go do this. Go get me this tool. Okay. But you know, but there's something about real running. And if you've been involved in real running, and it's a little bit like wrestling, because wrestling is even more intense than running. Endurance is keep running when every muscle in your body hurts. Every muscle in your body hurts. You don't have any strength left. You don't think there's anything left in you to give. The race demands endurance. That's what endurance is. You keep going when there's nothing left in you to keep going. And we find that Paul is telling Timothy now in the ministry, you need to be very active. You need to be actively fleeing all these things, but you need to be actively pursuing endurance. And you know, a great verse in life, a great verse in life, hopefully I can remember it at this moment. If thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's a humbling verse, isn't it? If thy strength fail in the day of adversity, we say, oh, I'm tough, you know. And then we get the flu. And we say, man, I'm going to die. You know? 36 hours early, we say, hey, I'm Hercules, you know. And then we get the flu and say, oh, man, I am so sick, I can't even move. If thy strength fail in day of adversity, thy strength is small. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul's words to Timothy in the last days. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's not look for the easy road. Let's look to pursue after endurance. And you know, I'm just kind of talking here, but you know what? You're going to be tested. And you know, sometimes the first test is college. And you know, the first test for some people is college. And you know, when I went to school, 85% of the kids earned their way through college. And you know, here's the test. You work, and you work, and you work. You work. You work hard. You spend as much free time as you spend all your time working. You don't buy things. Because all your money you're going to put on your school bill. Okay? And you are going to do that every year. Earn all your money, all the money you earn, you're going to put it on your school bill. And you probably have a junk car, and you may not have any possessions. And you can't go buy things. Every cent you get, you have to put on your school bill. And guess what? Maybe you'll do that for 4 years, and maybe you'll do that for 8 years, and then you'll get to be in the Lord's work and get paid maybe next to nothing. And I have seen it in the eyes of kids. Hey, I don't like this life. I don't like this life. I don't like this working, giving my money to school, giving it. I work so hard, I have nothing. You know what? I want an easier life. That's not endurance, is it? But you know, let me tell you something. Those are important trials, because those trials are going to prepare for a lot bigger trials. A lot bigger trials. And if we can't pass the little trials, we aren't going to pass the big trials, because the big trials are going to come. And you know, there's only one thing to do in trials, and that is have patience. Trust God. You know what? It hurts to trust God. It's just like being in that race in which every part of your body is hurting, and you say, give it some more, give it the next kick. You got to go faster. It hurts. And you know, patience, endurance in trials isn't easy. But you know what it said? It says continually pursue endurance. Continually pursue patience. And you know, you think that a person would have it figured out. As I was thinking about this verse, I says, you know what, Ron, you need to have more patience. You need to put up with difficulty a little bit better. Remember Mrs. Hollywood, she was 88 or 86, 84, and she's going through these trials. And she said, you know, I thought I was old enough that I didn't have to go through these trials anymore. I thought I was old enough that I didn't have to trust the Lord and go through these difficulties. And then it says, meekness. Meekness. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was meek. They spit upon him. They flogged him. They slapped him. They mocked him. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they said that he was a wine bibber and a glutton. They implied that he fellowshiped with sinners in their sin, which is a big lie. And the Bible says, Jesus said, come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He was able to respond in meekness to rejection and opposition. That is not very natural. That is not very natural. And I am afraid we'll never arrive. I have not arrived, you know that for sure. We have to constantly pursue these things in our lives, because there is an enemy that would overtake us. There's an enemy that would overtake our soul. There's an enemy that would take away our life. There's an enemy that would take away our influence. He says, but thou, O man of God. Let me ask you, think the devil likes the man of God? This one who represents the Lord, this one who is supposed to be belonging to the Lord and serve the Lord. We don't have to be too smart to figure out the devil wants to destroy the man of God. And you might be the only man of God at work. You might be the only man of God in your neighborhood. You might be the only man of God that some people will ever meet. And the devil wants to take away your light, doesn't he? You know, this is a great a truth for us. Many of you young people, this would be a great passage of Scripture for you to memorize. and you say, I'm called to the ministry. I mean, this is great for all of us, but you say, I'm called to the ministry. Memorize this passage of Scripture. The Bible says we're supposed to be pursuing these all the time. And I guarantee you, we'll forget about that unless we memorize this and we realize, hey, this is specific instruction for those who are going to serve the Lord. Of course, it's a general truth about Christianity. It doesn't matter who you are, but you know, if you're a young person, the devil wants us to destroy your life. And you have to realize that there is a very important truth here. Flee these things. Flee youthful lusts. Flee these things that can destroy your life. You know, it's an attitude. It's an attitude about evil. It's an attitude about the devil. It's an attitude about our weakness that we need to have in our life. And you know, a good parent is all about telling their kids, no! We aren't going there. And good parenting is all about, hey, this is where we're going. We're going upward. We're going on this path. If we play a neutral territory, we're going to be overcome. Because there's not ever enough distance between us and the spiritual enemies of our soul. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been lulled asleep. Just been lulled asleep. Maybe there's some things that you're not being very careful about in your spiritual life. And the Lord's speaking to your heart. Maybe on the other hand, lately you haven't had much spiritual energy. You're not pursuing anything with real spiritual action. You're not going anywhere. You're not going upward, not going forward. You're not seeking to grow in godliness and righteousness and faith, all these things. And tonight, it's like, whoa, man, what's wrong? I've been in neutral territory. And the Lord is speaking to your heart. Maybe you lost your desire to read the Bible. Maybe you lost your desire to grow. Maybe you lost your vision of being godly. And God is speaking to your heart tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth that we need in our lives. And we realize, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we realize that these things just don't happen by accident. That these things only happen on purpose. And that in your word, you have given us exact, specific things that we ought to do on purpose. And we need to do them continually. And they be right in the center of our mind and our soul. And Lord, so often we live the Christian life in a haphazard manner. We get so involved with life or even serving the Lord that we even lose our focus. And Lord, I pray that that your word would be as it is really the word of God to our lives, that we'd compare our lives to your word and say, you know, that's not there, that needs to be there, that's what I ought to pursue. Help us, Lord, to examine our lives, compare our lives to your word, our attitudes, judge our spiritual life by your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that there would be the working of your Holy Spirit in our lives to put off the old man and put on the new, to flee. Pray for that young person, that parent that has been inactive with the opposition and been dabbling in the world, borderline things, things that could destroy them. They're dabbling and neutral with the temptations of the devil instead of fleeing. I pray tonight that you would lead them to flee. Not only now, but continuously, to get the right perspective of life. And to be positively seeking to put these things in our lives through your Spirit. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, the Word of God has been what you needed tonight. The Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. Many different thoughts that have come across tonight, and there is a definite action needed to take place in your life. And God has spoken to you tonight. And you know what that is. We don't need to name it. If you want God's will to be done in your life, you have probably heard what he wants you to do. And say, Pastor, pray with me. The Spirit of God has spoken my heart. And there's a definite response that I need to make tonight. And by his grace, I'm lifting my hand not only for prayer, but as a point of decision and saying, yes, Lord, I am responding to you. I am making that definite response, that confession, that submission, that plan, that action that you want my life. And tonight, it's not maybe, it's not hope so, it's none of those things, it's definite. And you say, Pastor, God spoke my heart tonight, here's my hand, a definite decision in my life, please pray with me. Okay, anyone here tonight? Okay, number of different hands. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, amen. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. A definite working that God is trying to do in your life. Don't wrestle away from the Lord. Don't oppose the Lord. Don't fight the Lord. Say yes to the Lord. God is speaking to your heart. Anyone else tonight? Okay. Amen. All right. Others? God is speaking to your heart. Okay. All right. You know that thing that you're playing with. Maybe it's a secret sin. You're playing with it. You need to quit playing with it. You need to flee it. And you need to put in your life what you ought to pursue, these great things. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Well, you know, while our heads are still bowed, if you're not saved, there would be no reason in the world that you'd be turning from sin. Why would you turn from sin if you're not saved? And in your whole heart is still unconverted. It may be religious, but it's unconverted. It still loves sin. It wants to pursue sin. And the reason that you have that problem is because you're not saved. You haven't turned to Christ as your Savior. And tonight, you need to become a new creature. You need to turn to Christ as your Savior. He can give you a new heart. He can give you a heart that wants to turn from sin. And he can give you victory over sin. And you say, you know what? I've been fighting it long enough. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I need to do it tonight by faith. Say, I need to be saved. That's my need. Would you just lift up your hand wherever you are tonight? I need to be saved. Slip it up. I pray for you. Okay? I see that little hand. I see another hand. I need to be saved. And God is speaking to your heart. Boy, if you're not saved, boy, you're going to love sin, aren't you? But you need to be saved. I see that hand. Okay? Another one. I need to be saved. All right? Let's pray. Father, now I pray for those that need to be saved. And Lord, I pray that they would see the battle that's over their soul, the battle of sin versus God and the devil versus Christ, and that the unsaved heart loves sin, doesn't want to turn from sin, but Lord, the sin will destroy them and send them to hell. I pray that, Lord, that you will help them to see the lie of the devil and of sin in their own heart, and that they, Lord, would be under conviction of their sin and their need of salvation. Work in their heart, even tonight, of even refusing to be saved would be a rebellion against God. Now I pray that you'd work in our hearts, Lord. Many raise their hand, and Lord, if we're honest, there's great needs in our life. May the Word of God not fall to the ground, but Lord, may it do a work in our life. May we respond to you, for we need your working in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.